Chuck Glenwinkle with the College Station Independent School District on hand for a little bit this evening. And I was observing when you came in, Chuck, that this is my second year following the district. And I remember jumping in last year in the at the beginning of not only building projects was still going on, but the board was getting started with resetting attendance zones and everybody trying to figure out budgets. And there was just a whole lot of real significant things that really kind of took, I would think, would take people's minds off of education. And now we're a couple of weeks into the school year, and I'm presuming all that dust has settled, and now we're into job one, teaching kids.
Yeah, that dust has settled, but there's always new dust that is formed, especially this time of year. You know, you when you welcome over 10,000 new students back, sometimes there's things you overlook, but for the most part, I think the start of school has gone really, really well when you consider all those things you just talked about. You know, the budget reductions and the rezoning and opening a new wing at Oakwood and opening a new wing at A&M Consolidated Middle School, opening a brand new elementary school out at Greens Prairie. You know, when you consider all those things and all the planning and development that goes into all that, It's pretty remarkable that the school has started as well as it did, knock on wood.
Well, I'm a half-full versus half-empty sort of guy, and when you talk about the building expansions and the new buildings in particular, and no doubt adults as well as kids are really excited about being in those new spaces.
Yeah, absolutely. I was out at Greens Prairie Elementary today, and you know, I was there when kindergarten was having lunch, and you know, if the five-year-olds are excited and, you know, they're having a good time and they're enjoying being in school. And, you know, we are at about 2.7% more students at this time last year. This is day seven of school as compared to day seven of last year. We're at 10,415 as of today, and last year we were at about 10,142. Tomorrow we're going to add about a right at 196 more. It's going to be third and three- and four-year-olds. That's when the Early Head Start and Head Start programs start. They start on September 1st, not on August 22nd when regular school starts. And Head Start and Early Head Start's a federally funded program that that allows us to get kids when they're young, 3 and 4 years old, and help them get ready to start kindergarten when kindergarten rolls around for them when they turn 5 years old. So we're excited about that. Just a couple of other small housekeeping things before we start talking about a couple things we didn't get to last week. I'd just like to remind everyone that for the first time in a few years, College Station ISD will not have school on Labor Day this year. In the past, we have had school on Labor Day. This year, the board voted the calendar they voted for. That was vote that we got a lot of feedback from the community on. Overwhelming majority selected the calendar, this calendar that we're operating under, and we do not have school on Labor Day this coming Monday. So keep that in mind as well and plan accordingly. And then also one other little item is that for those parents out there that are wondering why they haven't gotten any attendance calls when their child has been absent the first couple weeks of school, we're going to start making those calls on Tuesday of next week. We've kind of given our attendance clerks and front office staffs at the schools a little time to just get their feet under them the first couple weeks before we start making those calls, which we will start doing when school starts up again next Tuesday.
Is that another result of maybe the attendance district changes and new buildings and new teachers and so forth?
Well, we purchased a system last year called School Messenger. It's a web-based system that allows us to make attendance calls when students are absent, just reminding parents that they need to bring a note back to when their kids come back to school to rectify the absence. But the main reason that we purchased it was for emergency communications. It allows us the opportunity to blast phone calls and emails to all 10,000 of our parents in a matter of 2 or 3 minutes. And like I said, it's web-based. As long as I've got an internet connection, I can get onto the system and I can make a phone call letting parents know what's going on and what instructions we can give them as far as picking up their kids or whatnot should there be an emergency type of a situation. So that's really the main reason we got it, but it's also paid dividends on some auxiliary reasons as well.
That's great. Let's get caught up on some things that we didn't have time for the last time we visited.
Yeah, last time we visited, we were fresh off of our August board meeting. Yeah, one of the things that was presented was the new STAR testing program by the state of Texas. And it's the STAR stands for State of Texas Assessments of Academic Readiness. And
no longer are we going to say tax.
No longer are we going to say tax. Tax is gone. STAR comes in this year. And grades 3 through 8 students will take STAR tests, and then grades 9 through 12 will be subject to end of course exams. It all falls under the STAR umbrella, and the tests are more rigorous. They make the students really comprehend the subject matter, as opposed to maybe just knowing a formula or a trick or a shortcut to find the answer. You really, really have to understand the subject matter. Take, for instance, in math, a question may be something along the lines of, Mike got a 45% discount when he bought a new jacket. Which of the following is not equivalent to 45%? Well, then they list all these different fractions and decimal places, and the one that's not equivalent to 45% obviously would be the answer. Well, in the new STAR testing program, an example of that type of question, it's more conceptual. It's not necessarily finding an answer. It is finding an answer, but you have to have a deep understanding. You have to have a conceptual knowledge of what a percentage is. So, for instance, Sal bought a skateboard that was discounted 20% off the regular price. Which of these best models 20%? And then there are different charts and graphs as opposed to a set of numbers. So you would have to not only find maybe the fraction, but be able to visualize that fraction as
in
to
fact,
what it would
yeah,
look like.
And trying to describe what you have is just a series of shaded a series of boxes. Some of them are shaded, and you have to figure out the proportion that way.
Absolutely. And so as you can tell, it's a lot more conceptual. So I think the thinking is that if you know the concept, you'll be able to apply it in a number of different ways. So the important part is knowing the concept, not necessarily knowing a trick or a shortcut to finding the answer.
All right, moving on to the second topic.
Yeah, EOCs, the end of course exams, those are going to be exams that are administered this year for only freshman level courses. These exams are going to be phased in over the course of the next 3 years. Next year it will be freshman and sophomore level. The following year, freshman, sophomore, junior, and then the year after that, it will be all four high school level courses, and they're in the core subjects: math, English, science, social studies, and basically, it's an end of course exam. It's going to test you. If you take Algebra 1, you're going to take the Algebra 1 end of course exam, and it's going to test you on whether or not you know the material. By state law, this is a little bit of a wrinkle that the state threw us that all school districts had to work through. But by state law, the end of course exam has to count for 15% of your grade for the course.
Does this kind of compare to a college final then?
It is kind of a final exam. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's an end of course exam, final exam. It covers all the material that you learned up to that point. And you know, we've had to develop and tweak our grading guidelines a little bit because, you know, these exams are given probably 3 to 4 weeks before the end of school. So what do? You take an end of course exam a month before school's out. What do you do the rest of the 3 or 4 weeks that you have left in school? So we've developed some grading guidelines and some procedures where, you know, we'll still have class the last 3 weeks of school. There'll be a test at the end of those last 3 or 4 weeks that's going to cover the material that was taught in those prior 3 to 4 weeks. And most likely that information that's learned in the last 3 to 4 weeks will help prepare the students to get ready for the next course that they're going to take the following year. And so I could go talk about this all day about how the grading guidelines, about how the 15% is going to affect whether you get course credit or you have to retake the exam, or if it brings your average down to 68, will you still get course credit? Do you still have to take the exam? There's all types of different scenarios out there, but we've got those outlined. Our counselors are well-versed in it, and they'll be able to help the students and the parents muddle through all of that.
I'm glad you brought that up, who the contact people were, particularly regards that, because that I can see that ping being quite a trick.
Absolutely.
In the meantime, district information always available online at CSISD.org. And anything else to share this evening?
No, I don't think so. I think football's on the road this weekend. Yep. Had the home opener last weekend. Huge crowd, good time, a little hot, but hey, it's August, right?
Football and school starting together.
There we go.
Gotta love it.
Absolutely.
Appreciate the visit.
Thank you, Bill.
As always, Chuck Glenwinkle with the College Station Independent School District on News Talk 1620 WTAW.